The Old Testament reading for today comes from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust, that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this not as we expected, but gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to the will of God, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, he urged Titus that as he had started, so should he complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply your need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever granted much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord.
In the Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. There was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, but was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came out from behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead." Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people wailing and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping him." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this. And he told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. So do you like to be touched? What if I asked you to hug the person who was not a relative, who was either next to you or in front or behind you? Could you do it? Or would you do it with a certain amount of being uncomfortable or nervous? Touching is a powerful thing. Read an article years ago about the devastating effect on infants if they are not touched or barely picked up. It stunts their development. We all desire to be touched and hugged. The gospel is about two touches and Jesus' power. There are three main characters in the gospel lesson. The first is Jesus. Jesus at this point is a rock star. Wherever he went, the crowds followed him. Think of Jesus' ministry as like being on a roller coaster. The first half is getting up to the peak of the roller coaster. And you always know when you get to the peak what comes next. Well, the peak in Jesus' ministry was the Mount of Transfiguration. The downhill part of the roller coaster is when Jesus started to head towards Jerusalem for the final time. His teaching became more intense, and some people turned against him. The first half of Jesus' ministry, he was popular. In the second half, not so much. He still had crowds that came like at Palm Sunday, but his popularity was on the wane. There are three reasons for Jesus' popularity: preaching, power, and parables. When it comes to preaching, he repeated the same message again and again. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. The reasons for his popularity was also power. Jesus had cast out demons. He had healed the sick. He had fed the 4,000. He had fed the 5,000. Altogether, Jesus was an ancient world rock star. And he heals two women in our gospel lesson. The one is a 12-year-old little girl who had a deadly fever. And then the next was a woman who for 12 years had been bleeding. But let's start with the little girl first. She was Jairus' daughter. Jairus was the head of the synagogue. And at that time, to be the leader of the synagogue, you were somebody in your town or village. Everybody knew who you were. They knew your family. So the entire village knew this little girl was sick. Sort of imagine, to explain Jairus' actions, try to imagine if the President of the United States, his daughter was deathly ill. Do you think he'd call me up and wanted medical advice? No. He would seek the best doctors there were in the land. That's what Jairus does. He seeks the best doctor who's in the land, and he makes his way through the crowd and bows down before Jesus. He literally begs Jesus to help. And Jesus starts walking towards the house, and the woman with the hemorrhage stops Jesus by touching him. By the way, according to Jewish law, she had to be in isolation until the bleeding stopped. For 12 years, she had been in isolation. Nobody could touch her. According to Jewish law, if her husband was a good, devout Jew, he could not even give her a hug goodnight. She was to be in complete isolation. which meant no synagogue, no temple, no Passover celebration. But the woman had the courage to seek Jesus and to at least touch his robe. And then he asked the question, which the disciples are shocked at, who touched me? He sees this woman. He sees the longing, the desperation, and the courage it took for her to do what she did. He stoops down, touches her, and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." A messenger then arrives. Jairus' daughter is dead. Jesus leaves the crowd, and he takes a few select disciples with him. And Jesus touches the daughter. By the way, another non-violation of the church law, or the Old Testament law, because Jesus is above it. Any Jew was forbidden to touch a dead body. So he violated the uncleanliness law by touching the woman who had been hemorrhaging and then touching a dead body. He had touched two unclean people. Two things had to happen for the women to be healed. The bleeding woman, who was unclean, had to force her way through the crowd to find Jesus. The daughter of a well-known leader in the community had to die. Jesus turns the entire world upside down. You can almost understand why the religious leaders of his day became so frustrated with him. Everything they expected he would do, he seems to have done the exact opposite. Our lesson for today is that God calls those who are marginalized to be brought into the community of God and calls the elite and privileged to experience the depth of that status. Why? So that we can all have life and be made clean. So here's the challenge today. We say again and again, we are the body of Christ. It's God's work, our hands. There's an old story that in the city of Aachen in Germany, during World War II, Aachen was basically flattened by the fighting to take the city. And the large cathedral in the center of town had been severely bombed and burned with fire. And when American soldiers entered the cathedral, there was a large statue of Jesus inside with the hands broken off. And somebody had made a crude sign and placed it by Jesus that says, "Now you are my hands." So we have the challenge today. We say we are the body of Christ and his hands. Do you need to be touched by the word of God today? And who needs your touch also today? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.